Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, your number one source for everything workspace by the Tab Geeks Network. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we are here to help you keep up. Join us for our live show this Thursday, February 16th, to learn all about the Chrome OS Administrator Certification with the Googlers who created it. We will be discussing how to prepare, the process for getting certified, and answering all of your questions. Head over to our YouTube channel, Tab Geeks, and make sure you are subscribed and hit the Notify Me button on the event to be alerted so that you don't miss it. It's going to be a great event. So, Steve, did you watch the season finale of football on Sunday?
I know the World Cup was like a couple months back. Jesse, you missed that news article.
That's fair. I deserve that.
I don't know what else you were doing on Sunday.
I don't know. Something with commercials that people were really excited about, and people were all dressed up. And, you know, the fans are crazy when it comes to this.
I just heard the cosplay is off the charts. I just heard someone's pregnant now. Some singer is pregnant. That's all I heard.
Oh, and managed to perform whilst pregnant. That was very impressive. And all of Twitter is like, that sucked. What is wrong with her? Why did she do such a shitty show? It's like, you get up there six months pregnant, pal.
I mean, there was a point where it didn't seem like she was singing too much to the songs. Right. Other than that, that was just the beginning, and then it kind of improved a little later in the show. But
yeah.
Right.
I thought it was extremely well done, and it was well produced, and it was Apple Music, so it was, you know, they paid for a lot more of that to be a bit more over the top than usual. Oh. Platforms flying down from the sky, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you know the whole thing about the performers and the artists not getting paid? Do you know that?
It's just exposure, but Apple Music, I did know that, but Apple Music paid for the, I don't know what they paid for actually, because I know the Super Bowl pays for,
I don't know why they don't end up paying them something though out of that budget.
Because they get tens of millions of exposure.
The dancers don't, the singer does.
Probably. Right. Yeah, the dancers, I don't know what their deal is. They get to say they're on the Super Bowl in the halftime show. The Super Bowl pays for travel and for any supplies and things that they need while they're there, hotels and incidentals and all that jazz. So there's no out-of-pocket for the singers, but they got to show up and do their thing. But supposedly Apple Music paid to produce it, so I'm not sure where the Super Bowl payments cut off and Apple Music kicks in, and, you know, it was done in Dolby and spatial and all the other marketing buzzwords that they like to talk about, but it sounded good, looked good. It was a fun show. It was a good game. I don't sporty sports stuff too much, but when I do, it's usually once a year, twice a year this.
No, it was, I don't know. I've been saying this for a while, you know, there's gotta be a better way to change the, change like the end of the game timing and how the clock works, because I feel like in so many cases it's really just who can run down the clock at the end and not who's the better team at the last minute.
Sometimes, it does fall to that. And that kind of happened in this case.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, it's also it wasn't really a holding either. I mean, that was...
Right. But the Seahawks have, you know, they've blown bigger leads than that before, so I wasn't really surprised that they were that was happening. And then when the call happened, I was like, "Oh, that's it for them; they're done." But I mean, the first half I thought was boring. The second half seemed a little bit more exciting, at least. But there was also another call against the Chiefs earlier on that was.
You said Seahawks.
Not the Seahawks. The other bird.
I was like,
sorry.
I know I made a joke about it, but I know the teams that played actually.
I don't know. One was green, one was red.
Right.
It was blue. I'm not sure.
There was Santa Claus out there, and red and green.
Santa Claus. I didn't see him.
Red and green colors. I don't know. It's Christmas colors.
There you go. Christmas colors. So, small episode this week.
You know, we've got a few updates. We have three that came out during the week, three silent releases there, small little minor fix on Drive for Desktop. I mean, that thing has been having major issues from the feedback I've been seeing all over the place. It's, I don't know, this file stream provider, whatever, for Mac OS, it's just wreaking havoc on everyone.
Mine is totally disabled at the moment on my Mac. In fact, when I restarted my Mac just now, it asked me if I wanted to remove the account because it couldn't sync.
Yeah, that's
something
what
went wrong.
Yeah,
I get that all the time. Couldn't load your account.
Right. Yeah.
I have two accounts on there, and both of them are dead.
Yeah. Right. That's what's happening in mine. Okay, so I'm not the only one then.
Nope. And I'm on not the latest Mac OS because I, despite trying to update my Mac earlier, like 6 times, checking for updates, and when I opened when I sat down to record for this episode, all of a sudden it goes, "Hey, do you want to install updates tonight?" I'm like, "Damn it! I tried to install updates before." and in Drive, I'm running version 70.0.2.0 on Apple Silicon, of course.
Oh, wait, you're running 70 or 71?
70.
Yeah, see, I'm on 69 still.
And you're having the problem as well. I wonder if I run this update.
I think on this laptop, I'm doing okay. On my desktop, though, I think I'm having issues. Desktop, I'm definitely having issues. My Mac Mini, my M1 Mac Mini on 13. My laptop, though, I seem to be okay. I'm at 69. So I don't know, they're at 71. I'm 2 versions behind now at the moment. It doesn't make sense.
Right. I wonder if when I update the Mac update, if it's going to help or if I'm just going to have to reload the whole thing, which would really suck.
Yeah.
As it is, I need to like reset it because I moved like 4 terabytes of files from one drive that was syncing from one drive, not from the OneDrive service, from one hard drive that I had syncing into a different hard drive that I was syncing. And I don't think it picked up all of that. So I really just need to be like, delete everything you have backed up from my computer and start over. And I don't know how to do that. So I'm going to have to poke around with that and figure that out.
Okay. Well, we also have 6 items in the news that we you found. Yeah, found a few things there. So the updates that we have, silent releases, there's some increasing visibility into unmovable items in the Google Drive. There's changing the power function in Google Sheets. There's a new hands-free PDF annotation support in the Drive for the Drive app for Android. And those 3 published releases, we saw Google's expanding SIP link for Google Voice in Latin America. There's also another expanding seems to be the key word here, expanding the power of Google Sheets with localized formatting and improved CSV formats. Good for our international listeners.
CSV imports.
CSV imports, what did I say?
Formats.
CSV formats? Oh, because it's formatting and I was reading, And then finally, there's the ability to include captions with Google Meet video recording now, which is cool. You can choose the language you want to embed into the recording. And then, as I said, Drive for Desktop has a version 71 update with some minor bug fixes there. And then in some other news, we have those six articles. One is how to find Noto in Docs, Sheets, Slides, and Sites, Google Cloud, Google Data Cloud and AI Summit. There's also Chrome OS fleet monitoring best practices. A little article here about how Google is losing control, according to a writer over at TechCrunch. And back to 9to5 Google, our go to there. Google's working to bring Bard AI chat to Chrome OS. And then finally, don't update iOS to the latest if you use Google Photos. So that'd be interesting what's going on there. Good thing I don't use iOS.
Ha!
Yeah. So that first update we were talking about earlier announced was the beta to allow your end users to move folders into My Drive and Share Drives, or folders from My Drive to Share Drive. Sorry, let's get that right. And now there's this ability for admins to generate a CSV report with more details about those unmovable items. So you'll be able to pull this kind of directly from Google itself here, instead of having to use something like GAM or rClone and, running some report there on maybe file names and owners and understanding which objects cannot be moved. This will make it a little bit easier from that. It's going to be available to Workspace Essentials, Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Essentials, pretty much everyone here. I'm looking, reading through here. Pretty much everyone. Rolling out wrapped release and scheduled release domains. Plan to start that in a few days on the 20th of Feb. And can click to learn a little bit more about that. We'll share the link in the title, in the show notes. Let me just add that in there while I am talking about it so I don't forget. And change some changes here to the power function in Google Sheets. So when you can just do equals power on and power off, and then your laptop turns on and off. That's what they're doing, changing it. So you can just turn off your machine from Google Sheets, which is kind of cool. No, no, that's not it. That's not, who I wonder who thought that was real. No, this is not being able to turn off the power to your machine. This is, you know, how to return a raised number, returning a raised number to a power. So it will now return a real value root when trying to take the odd root of a negative number. So for all you math people out there, negative 8 to the power of 1/3 here is at negative 2 now is what it says here. So there you go. And then finally, new freehand PDF annotation support in Google Drive and the Google Drive app for Android. So you can now use your finger or stylus to freely write annotations on a file shown in the Drive preview screen on Android devices. And the annotation can be saved to the file as a PDF, or a PDF copy of the file can be made with the annotations saved to it.
And is that then, a term? Freehand?
Freehand.
Use your, yeah. use your freehand? Because it's freely write annotations, but it's,
you know,
kind of a clunky headline there.
It's, you know, freehand PDF annotations. It's like, I don't know. It's,
Yeah, maybe it was an Android thing. It's a freehand PDF. Hand-free PDF. No, it's hand free.
The hand that is free, right?
Yes.
Freehand. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Why not just say use it's your not finger?
Typing. It's not typing it. You know, it's not
yeah, but you're using your finger.
It's not like a text bubble where you type it on your keyboard. That would be not freehand.
What if I'm using my thumb, which is the hand that's holding the phone? That's not my freehand.
No, but it's the type of input that is happening, not that it is your freehand. It is that it is versus like typing it in from the keyboard. It is freehand annotation, meaning, you know, writing it, writing yourself as like a graphic, as a, you know, as a line, as like line art. Yeah.
Sure. Great. How's that not been a thing until now? But okay.
I don't know. But it, I guess
so you can, you like know, use your finger to sign your signature, basically.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
In the in the Drive preview screen. Okay, fine.
Right. Some specifics in terms of where that's being added functionality. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Spending way too much time on this little teeny tiny
update. Yes. But hey, I need to fill some time, right?
No, we don't. No. We can fill time by making sure people go to our live event on Thursday.
There you go. All right. The expansion of SipLink for Google Voice to Latin America is coming. So in October, there was an announcement around SipLink functionality in general being released, SIP being Session Initiation Protocol, and then tied in here with Google Voice. So today, beginning today, and then today is a few days ago on the 6th, actually, Voice now supports the following countries in Latin America for SipLink availability: Argentina, Colombia, Chile, Brazil, and Mexico. So those customers in those countries can now purchase the new SipLink Standard or SipLink Premier licenses to set up SipLink.
You know, I never actually knew what SIP stood for until you just said it. To me, it was always just SIP. It's a SIP line. SIP yeah. This, SIP that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I dealt with 5 voice systems in about 2.5 years, so I am familiar with that terminology.
Oh, sure. And I used to admin an old piece of crap on-prem Finality server based on Asterisk, and you had to do your own SIP lines and SIP trunks and this and that. And for me, it was always just, you know, SIP things.
Yeah.
It was just SIP. It's just an acronym I never looked up.
Yeah. Rollout for this one, it is going to, it started already, 6th of Feb. On a full rollout for rapid release and scheduled release domains, and it's available in 1 to 3 days. So quick rollout for that one. And as mentioned, customers will need to purchase the SipLink Standard or SipLink Premier license to set up SipLink. And customers in all our supported countries will need to purchase Voice Standard or Voice Premier licenses to set up SipLink. So keep that in mind, a little bit different in terms of the availability there on how it is added to your environment based upon where your customer is based or where you as a customer are based, Google. Next, we have that ability to expand the power of Google Sheets with localized formatting and improved CSV imports. Get that title right there this time, Jesse. So this is, yeah,
not to be confused with the power function.
Right. Yes.
This not the power of sheets.
Power of Google Sheets. Yes. Which is kind of related. For those international people all over the globe, and those of you who use commas and semicolons and all these other different delimiters, Google is going to better interpret those source files as you import them into Google Sheets. So one thing there. So starting today, when using a keyboard with a number pad, you can use the decimal key to insert the region-specific decimal separator in Sheets, and then next, they're also making it easier to import those CSV files into Sheets. Previously, if you used the comma as your decimal separator and a semicolon as your text separator, you had to choose a custom delimiter type of semicolon for the import to properly split text to columns. Starting today, Sheets will auto-detect semicolons as a way to separate text into columns. And this is all relative to the 7th of Jan when this started to roll out for both rapid release and scheduled release domains on our gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. It's available to everybody. Everybody. Yeah. All customers. Workspace. G Suite's almost gone. It's almost gone, Jesse. I'm getting some. Do you get your emails on your last remaining G Suite environments? Can we really talk about that?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, all right. So
maybe I don't have any. I don't remember.
Yeah. So there are some emails that have gone out. I probably should have added that to domains out there that are still on G Suite. And the force is happening. So if you're still on G Suite and haven't moved, you are going to be forced to that eventually. Let's see, where is this? G Suite. I'll have to find the email here, see what the date is. Oh, this is going to be tough to find because I have all of my G Suite Reddit posts going in here from the other day. Let's see if I can find this. Oh, here we go. Your subscription will be transitioned to Google Workspace. So throwing this one in here, folks. It's one that I didn't mention in the preview to the topics here. This one, on this one domain here, looks like it will be March 13th is that last day for one of my my accounts anyways to be on G Suite. Google Workspace will be forced transitioned here. And this is interesting because my G Suite business account will automatically be transitioned to Google Workspace Enterprise Standard. So keep that in mind. If you run business, you're getting upgraded to Enterprise Standard because that's the closest feature parity on that transition between business and enterprise. You're not going to be losing any functionality by going from business to Enterprise Standard. It's because if you go into Enterprise Plus, I think there's some things not quite aligned with that business offering. So they want to make sure that things aren't mismatched when that change happens.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's kind of why that's happening there. But keep an eye out for that. If you are on G Suite, you're an organization and probably need to pay a little bit more closer attention to that because there's going to be some cost implications there, I'm sure. So have a close look at that. Work with Google, work with your partner on what that is going to look like exactly. Better to get ahead of that than to be stuck with a huge bill later on. And then finally, here we have the ability to include captions with Google Meet video recordings. So when you've been doing your video recordings, you've been doing your Google Meet events, live translations have been able to be viewed in that meeting. Different language for every user could be, someone looking at Spanish, someone looking at French, someone looking at German. Well, and none of those were able to be saved and embedded directly into the recording. So you couldn't really share that transcription subtitles with anyone. So this is the captions. Yeah, so sorry, mixing up terminology there. So this is the captions, the embedded captions in the Meet event. Can now be defined on that initial record in terms of what language would you like to be your default. And that will then get embedded into the video. So, if you are maybe having to convert these videos into multiple languages and over, embed maybe your locale translations, might not be useful to you. But if you find yourself being able to, let's say, use one particular language for the majority of your users, very useful, because it will then be permanently embedded and visible on playback all the time. And this is a feature that the admin has to enable. So you've got, and then you also have to be the meeting host, part of the host organization. You could be a co-host for that meeting, or promoted to a co-host if you're outside the meeting host organization. And then, of course, on the teaching side, a teacher or co-teacher for meetings created through Google Classroom can start to leverage this this feature. And just, meet recordings have to also be enabled, kind of some prerequisites there for that. Rollout for this one is going to be a little different for each domain type. So rapid release domains are going to see this rolling out, a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility starting on the 8th of Feb. And then scheduled release domains are going to see this on the 1st of March on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. And looks to me like it's going to be available to everyone other than, no G Suite users, it says here. Just Workspace, Essentials, Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Essentials. Yeah, Enterprise Standard. Yeah, all of these here. All of those Workspace ones. That's it. And then... that wraps up the updates that we saw from Google last week, from kind of the Google Workspace product perspective. As I said, we are seeing some version differences in our Drive for Desktop clients. I'm still on 69. Jesse sounds like he's on 70 yep. at the moment. 71 has been announced already, so maybe that is just a little bit of a delay getting that out to everyone. But that. Most recent version 71 hopefully fixes some of these issues we've all been seeing and reporting and causing a headache for IT admins out there, because it's not a super well supported product, to be honest, in terms of trying to get things fixed on it. It's a desktop application. It's not a web app, for example. So see how that one goes, plays out. See if things get better in Drive for Desktop. Jesse, take it away with the news.
All righty. So the first one is an interesting one here. How to find Noto in Google Docs / Sheets and Sites. This is not something that I remember reading about. It's possible I did a long time ago, but Google has had a project they've been working on for quite a while that is creating a font. What?
There's a little Easter egg in this announcement as well.
An Easter egg?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Remember? We talked about
Yes. In the screenshot. Okay, I'll get to that. Uh-huh. Okay, so Noto, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, is a collection of high-quality fonts with multiple weights and widths in sans, serif, mono, and other styles. The Noto fonts are perfect for harmonious, aesthetic, and typographically correct global communication in more than 1,000 languages and over 150 writing systems. And they have been working on this to actually create these fonts for all of those languages that are out there, many of which are spoken by a select few and are endangered, etc. And they are now bringing the capabilities of Noto to Google Docs and, well, the editors, essentially. So you're going to be able to basically select these fonts and select which language you want as part of the font. For example, Adlem, which is not something I've ever heard of, but you can now type in Noto sans Adlem and Steve's got some air conditioning going on in the background there, I think. I just heard it kick in there. That's okay. So there's a whole post here about how you can set that up, and it's got Hebrew that I'm seeing in the screenshot here, and Thai, and a whole bunch of other languages. So really big update for anybody who is looking to type in international languages, especially those that are not well known or well used throughout the world. And the interesting little Easter egg that's in here is not in the screenshots. The screenshots show the normal Google Docs interface in regards to the formatting bar and the UI, but there is something that wasn't officially announced, but we did see leaked by somebody on LinkedIn, so I guess we can mention it now, and they do have it here in the screenshot. Not the screenshot, but the graphic on the article shows off a new navigation bar or formatting bar and what it's going to look like in the editors. It's more of a curved kind of material design, and let's just say that I fully expect all of you to have very mixed feelings about it.
Very mixed, very mixed. I am not enjoying it too much, to be honest with you.
You know, it looks clean. I think they're going to continue tweaking it.
Well, you saw the screenshots, right? I shared them with you, so you've seen kind of side-by-side comparison of what they look like.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have that yet rolled out. It's in alphas, I think. And for some reason, mine didn't, or beta, one or the other. I haven't seen it yet. But that is coming, we can say for sure. What it's actually going to look like 100% when it arrives has not yet been determined, because it is not, hasn't even really been announced. So, shh, you didn't hear it from us. All right, on to the next one. Is an event, actually with quite a bit of notice on here, is Google Data Cloud and AI Summit for the Americas. This is going to be on March 29th, 2023 at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time. And if you are located in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, there is an EMEA page for summit events in those time zones. Essentially, this is using AI to unlock new opportunities in data and cloud, gain expert insights, new solutions, strategies, help you transform customer experiences, yada, yada, yada. It's mostly going to be a, hey, here's how you can use our tools and pay us more money and you know, spend more money with Google, which is great, but also we find there's a lot of good resources on these. And hey, anytime Google says AI these days, I think it's worth a listen, given the fact that they are now rather heavily on the defense when it comes to what they're doing with AI, whether it's a chat-based search or something similar. I guess we'll get to that in our later articles here as we go through the news, but that should be an interesting event. Next up is something that I saw drop. I'm trying to remember who posted it, but this is a Google for Education Chrome OS Fleet Monitoring Best Practices Guide as of February 2023. It is a Google Doc that Google has shared, and some of the things in the table of contents is find devices that have not synced policies recently, detect if users repeatedly re-enroll their devices, prevent users from enrolling unauthorized devices, monitor users logging in on unenrolled devices, detect devices that are joined to managed network while unmanaged, and recommended settings. So, you know, 8 pages, nothing too massive here, but if you are in that space and you are doing larger Chrome OS fleet monitoring, then you are definitely going to want to take a look for this, and you're definitely going to want to attend our event this coming Thursday so that you can learn about becoming Chrome OS Administrator Certified. Shameless plug repeatedly over and over again, because we really want people to come, so it's going to be a fun one. Next one we have here is a TechCrunch article that Google is flailing. Google's losing control. And it certainly is starting to look that way from the outside, that you know, Google had their first demo, as we talked about on previous shows, of their AI chat based search, or conversational natural language based search, and it had an error in it. And you know what? That was the stock market reacting. Right. It was a slight factual error. And the stock market and associated companies reacted to the point of Google losing $100 billion in valuation, which is nuts. But hey, maybe it's a buying opportunity here. For those of us who have been following Google, you've got to take everything you see when it comes to somebody dumping all over another company here with a grain of salt. Like Google, yeah, may have sat on their laurels for a bit too long. Same thing they did with, you know, Workspace and Meet and Chat, and the fact that they don't have a decent Slack or Discord competitor, right? You know, there are certain things that Google focused on priorities in building out Google Cloud or other areas that didn't allow them to focus entirely, or they didn't think that they needed to, because they pretty much owned this corner of the internet, being the biggest corner of the internet. And so that's a little bit of what this starts to talk about here is you know, what Google has had and where they're going with it, and the fact that it does kind of look like from the outside that Google really had this great lead and then they just squandered it, and it looks like they've just been terrifically mismanaged for years now. And, you know, Google does have a little bit of a chaotic management style, especially to those who are looking for more corporate classic styles. You know, teach their own, form your own opinions, read the article here. But I think that Google yeah, it may have been rushed and it may have been a little botched, but I think that Google has a whole lot of tech on the bench here that we're not seeing yet, that we will see, that Google is not going to take this laying down, and will certainly come out swinging. So if you're interested in learning more about that, go ahead and read the article. But again, take everything sport with a grain of salt. What?
So many sport references there on that one.
Support references? What do you mean?
Sport. Sports sport references.
It didn't like even that. Mean to. I'll have to go and re-listen to myself. You know, I'd never really know what I'm saying when I'm saying. You have to listen to it again later to be like, oh, that actually right. sounded pretty good when it came out. It sounded like crap in my head, but okay. You never know. This is an interesting article, and I know I've said that about the last couple, but this one is interesting in how it rolled out. 9to5 Google published the article yesterday saying Google is working to bring Bard AI Chat, which is their response or their offering for conversational chat. They're working to bring it to Chrome OS. And moments after, or I guess an hour or two after they posted this original article, there was an update that Google appears to be undoing some of its work related to Bard for Chromebooks. What, Steve? I see your mouth moving, but
just saying, they're clawing it back after they announced it, right?
Well, I'm not sure it was really an announcement on Google's part. This was seen in some of the code and in the Canary as an experiment for conversational search, but apparently now they're renaming it and pulling it back. And the update here was shortly after their report was published, Google began stripping back some of the work towards introducing Bard to Chrome OS, specifically the flag in Chrome OS that they had shown in the article has been removed, and some work has been hidden from the public, and the code that mentions Brad, now I'm not sure if that's a typo or if that's their internal code name for Bard, but apparently it has been quote-unquote abandoned. That said, some of the relevant work still remains, meaning that the effort likely hasn't been ditched altogether. We speculate the company simply wasn't ready for its exact plans for Bard in Chrome OS to be discovered just yet. Now, I think that this is actually very interesting because Google has a lot going for them with their OS in Chrome and the deep level integration there, similar to how Microsoft immediately was rolling their Bing search into Edge. And for anybody who opens Edge ever, every time you open it, it's like, hey, do you want to change your default browser to Edge now? No, I don't. Go away. Or, hey, check out these new things we put in here, shoving it down your throat. I don't care. I use it for one thing and one thing only. And no, I like Chrome as my default browser, so kindly go away. But they're just going to continue using that leverage because that's the advantage that they've had for many, many years in the Windows operating system, and they have taken advantage of it. And Google is likely doing the same with Chrome OS here. So I am personally excited to see what's going to be coming here because I think that, honestly, at some point, the different platforms have to collide. Like the conversational powers that come with ChatGPT's style, why don't we have that much better in our virtual assistants? Like, I don't know why nobody's really talking about this. The virtual assistants are going to be the real winners here because that's conversational. And conversational experience on those isn't great currently. And whether I'm typing it or I'm writing it, it's going to come out to be a conversation. If I want to use conversational, the most likely place I'm going to do that is spoken. And so I think with on Chrome OS devices and Google Home devices, etc., I really hope that all of that deep level integration and capabilities are going to be built out. Alrighty, that's what I have to say on that one. And then the last one here. What, Steve?
Come on. No.
Okay.
Nothing to add there.
The last one is Apple rolled out an update to iOS yesterday, 16.3.1, and it is a security update. So if you are concerned about the 0-day that they were patching, which I believe it was a 0-day, you may want to update immediately if you are very concerned about that. Just beware that it breaks Google Photos. Now, that was something that I threw in here even though it dropped yesterday, but I do see also an update now here as of this morning that a new version of Google Photos is now available on the App Store to fix this problem. So I take back everything I just said. Go ahead, and if you see people saying don't update, you can update. Just make sure that you go and update Google Photos from the App Store when you run the update. So all good here. Google reacted quickly and was able to put the fix in place. So
is that update in here?
It's in the article. Yep. February 14th, 2023.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I had the old version open before, and then I clicked just now to open it and saw the update, and I was like, oh, let me read that real fast. So that's good. Thankfully, that has been solved because we both want to stay secure and run updates when, you know, when we can help tackle 0 days, but we also don't want to break too much functionality in the process. So that's our show. Again, please join us for our live show coming February 16th, this Thursday. And that is going to be all about the Chrome OS Administrator Certification, which you are going to be able to take. And they threw a whole bunch of resources in there for free as well. And I believe for the first year that the certification is around, the test is free as well. Steve has already taken it, so he's going to be giving some of his thoughts on the test, and we're going to be talking with the actual Googlers who designed the certification and the program surrounding it. So,
I think I was like the 20th person to pass the exam. Woo-hoo. World, somewhere
in the world. Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, I think they just start, you know, from the time zone in which whatever region was the first to start taking it. That's kind of where the, you know, first issue number comes from.
Right. Your certificate has like 0000020.
No zeros, but yeah, the leading zeros are not there. Okay.
Yeah. But. Oftentimes with like serial numbers and things like that, I see the leading zeros left in, so that's why I figured.
Oh. Yeah, no, these ones are not, but.
All right. Yeah, so that's going to be on our YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this on the podcasting platforms, kindly go over to youtube.com/tabgeeks, TABGEEKS, and hit the subscribe button. And it is highlighted on our homepage there on YouTube, or on our page, I guess is what it's called. Our channel. There's the word I was looking for. And you can click to go onto the event, and then there's a notify me or get notified button that is right there. So you'll be able to get a notification on your phone and devices that you have notifications enabled for when we do go live. So hope to see you all there. That's our first live event of 2023, and hopefully we're going to be able to do more of these as the year goes on. But I'm pretty excited about it and fired up, so hopefully everyone will join us.
More live events, please.
Yes, please. And if you have questions or comments, feel free to drop them on the comments below. If you're on YouTube, or hit us up on Twitter or our website, workspacerecap.com. And anything else you want to let us know, feel free, send it over. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap, and hopefully on Thursday at our live event.